The scripture reading today is coming out of 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading a slightly different passage. This read, not a different passage, but a different translation from Eugene Peterson. So this time, I just want you to listen. I begin in chapter 12, verse 12. You can see easily enough how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We were used to being independent and to call our own shots, but then we entered into a large, integrated life in which Christ has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each one of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we've all come to drink. No old labels we once used to identify ourselves, like Jew or Greek or slave or free. They're no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about all the things that are more significant, not less. The body isn't a simple blown-up part into something huge. It's all different but similar parts arranged and function together. If the foot said, "I'm not elegant like the hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body," would that make it so? If the ear said, "I'm not beautiful like the eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? And if it was all air, how could it smell? As it is, we have seen God, and seen that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where God wanted it. But I want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each in its proper place and its proper size, no more important on its own. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand, "Get lost, I don't need you," or the head telling the foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out"? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and the more necessary. You can't live without an eye. You could live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body, you're concerned with it. It makes no difference wherever the part is visible or clothed or higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you should have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. For if you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to a full-bodied head of hair? The way of God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every department has a part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't, they're important. If one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every part takes part in the flourishing. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You are familiar with some parts that God has formed in the church, which is his body. And then Jesus talks about what the parts are. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Well, I did start out being a Presbyterian. I wasn't a cradle Presbyterian. I wasn't born into this. I went to college in Oregon, and I church shopped, and I found myself at Central Presbyterian Church. And I liked it. It felt like home. I didn't have deep theological reasons. They welcomed me, they fed me, and I stayed a bit longer. And I realized what I liked about this Presbyterian path was they used their minds. They learned Scripture. You didn't have to give up your mind or your questioning spirit at the door. What I also liked about them was I realized the pastor did not have all the power. Ironic, here I am. That they had elders, lay leaders, that were elected by the congregation in a vote. It was 12 elders and one pastor. As an adolescent, I liked that a lot. I also liked that my church in Oregon was involved in the world. They were part of the sanctuary movement in the 1980s. And that didn't mean we have a lovely sanctuary. They housed refugees, illegal immigrants from Guatemala and other parts of the world where their lives were in danger. And they did this at great risk. And I learned in that church that my little Presbyterian church in Oregon wasn't the only one. There are a whole bunch in Oregon and all around the world. And ironically, they called me to be a pastor and helped me to become a pastor. And so I became a Presbyterian. And I've been ordained over 25 years. And how many times do you think I've been a commissioner to the General Assembly? Zero before this summer. I'd never been to this big meeting. And this year, I was whining a little bit to a friend. I was at Presbytery, and they had all the names of the people that were going to be nominated, and mine wasn't on it. And I said to Steve, I've never gone, because I always leave a presbytery before I get enough years in. And so they read the names on the floor of the presbytery, and the person reading the name said, are there any nominations from the floor? And my friend Steve Wild stood up and said, yes, Maggie Henderson. And we were all surprised, and the person said, well, is she here? And I said, yes. Thank goodness they didn't ask, did she know? And so I actually got elected to go to General Assembly, not because of my great worth, but because of my whining. And maybe would say the Spirit of God. So I got to go to the 222nd General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. Now, this is a big deal. 600 commissioners vote and study and work on things. 600. And it takes about 1,000 people to support those 600 and people who want to come. And so I go to General Assembly. And the first thing I get to do is be part of a committee. Okay, would someone put a timer on me? Do you have your, tell me when it's 15 minutes, because I have my phone up there, but I got so excited I forgot to put it down. So I went to General Assembly, and the first thing I did was I went to a committee meeting on the Middle East. Now I'm going to tell you, this is probably one of the most controversial and one of the hottest committees, to be on as far as arguing about things. And we had a lot of issues to talk about. People had been working on these things for 2 years, and it was our job to read them and decide if some made sense, if some don't. We couldn't take everything to the big meeting, and so we narrowed some things down. Now, what I found is I didn't know everything. I was like this country mouse who didn't quite get what was going on. I tried to prepare, but I didn't know enough, so I had to listen even more. And my group did decide to do some things. One of the things we did is we supported an article that was basically asked by the last General Assembly to put forth. And it talked a lot about rights of all people in Israel, and especially for the Palestinians. We had spent a long time writing this piece. Very controversial. And we supported it with an amendment. We found out about the children in Palestine who were being jailed at a rate that is about 10 times higher than the Israeli children for things like throwing rocks. So if an Israeli children got caught with a throwing a rock, he'd probably, the police would go to his house and he'd get a lecture and talk to the parents. If a Palestinian child was caught throwing a rock, he would actually be taken by the police, blindfolded many times, would stay for a week in jail and then come home, and the trauma was great. And the UN had asked Israel to change their policies, and the General Assembly was wrestling with this, so my committee added a line that said, we care for all the children, Palestinian and Israeli, and we call on Israel to do better. That was an interesting piece. There were some things they asked us to vote on, and we voted them down. And then all our recommendations went to the big floor, and we talked about them. It was an eye-opening one for me, because we have been in solidarity with the Jewish state in many ways, but now we're kind of, many of the Christians are Palestinian, and we're learning to hear another voice and know that much is gray and there is not much right, and we call for human care for old people. That's all I'm going to try to explain what that piece was. So we worked our arses off, and we went to the big meeting. The first worship had 3,000 people in it. 3,000. And we did that worship, and I got to tell you, that turning thing was as awkward for them, but I liked it anyway. And we praised God, and there were choirs from all over Oregon who came, and people who at my table had sit and argued, at that point sat down and worshiped Christ because there was something bigger than us. There's something miraculous about that. And then we started the General Assembly meeting, and the first thing we did was we elected a moderator. It's a big deal. They keep their regular church jobs or secular jobs and serve the church for 2 years. They go to meetings. They run the General Assembly meeting. They have some power, but really none. And this year, it was the first thing we got to do. We voted on something we'd never done before, two co-moderators to split the job. And elected were two women. First co-moderators, first time, two women. Jan Edmondson and Denise Anderson. Amazing women. Denise, 37 years old, youngest we ever had. And she's an African American, and she is a bright woman. Jan, 62, a blogger, a pastor, a Presbytery person, and I actually know her. I've known her for 15 years. So when Jan got elected and they laid hands on her, it's a big deal, she asked me to go up on the platform with her. But you know, it did my heart good, because though she was feeling called by God, and I got to go for all the friends that loved her and knew her. It was big in our church. And then we elected our stated clerk. Now there's where the power is. The stated clerk kind of makes the end decisions on polity questions. They go around the world. When they want to talk to someone at the Presbyterian church, they have the stated clerk. And I'm so old, I know the stated clerk too. It's not because, like, I'm big in power. It's because I've been around so long. And J. Herbert Nelson was elected to be the stated clerk. He's an African-American man, third-generation pastor, comes from Orangeburg, South Carolina, where his father dealt with civil rights. J. Herbert has dealt with civil rights. He had a church just for the poor in Tennessee. And J. Herbert Nelson was elected. And J. Herbert Nelson said, the church is not dying, it's reforming. Because, you know, we say, oh, the church. He said, it's not dying, it's reforming. And he has a prophet's mind. And he's going to help lead us. And I am excited. Now, I could have gone home, yay, good people in charge. But we had a lot of work to do. And so we voted on things like... let me see. I got notes, but I don't have big notes. We said as a General Assembly, we have not treated gay, lesbian, transgendered, queer well. And on the they had first put a full-out apology to people and the harm we'd caused. But you know what? Some of us thought the church really isn't ready to apologize yet. Seemed a little bit too easy. So we said a word of regret for what we had done and how we had not welcomed people to the plate, to the table. Not full yet, but pretty darn good. I'd invite you to read it. We also talked about how sexual misconduct, and I'm, because there's children in the room, children were hurt in the past by the church. And one victim of that spoke about it. Happened at a big event for the youth, and we made a policy of the National Church of caring for children and people that are vulnerable. It's a big deal. We admitted it. And then the past stated clerk apologized for what had happened, admitted it, apologized, and said, this will not happen again when my grandchildren grow into this church. That's a big ideal. Because when you apologize, maybe there is hope. We also voted for things like not divesting our money from gas, but we're considered, energy. We're concerned about the greening and the heating of the planet. So we asked that we talk to those people that our money's in, our pension's in, to ask them for other ways. It's kind of a big deal. Some people said, take all the pension money out of anything that has to do with fossil fuel. The greater body said, we want to have a voice at the table. So we're not going to withdraw all the way because we want to talk about that. Some other exciting things happened. Four of my seminary classmates were commissioners, so I got to see them after 25 years. There was someone from Scotland who came and gave greetings from the church in Scotland. So I went up and said, hi, I'm Maggie Henderson. I lived in Glasgow for a summer. And he said, you look familiar. I said, did you ever get to Glasgow? And he said, no, because he lived in Edinburgh, and that's pretty up, and Glasgow's pretty down. I said, he said, no, and I thought so. And I said, have you ever been to San Francisco? And he goes, yes. I said, well, I'm the pastor of Old First Presbyterian Church. And he looked at me, and he said, I worshipped at your church once. I mean, the lovely, I'm trying to be nice to the church, the man in Scotland, he's actually been here. And then we convinced ourselves we really remembered. Those were the fun things. We also voted on kind of looking who the church will be. We have a visioning team. Because you know how we're doing it in the church? They're doing the same thing. And Jan and Denise got to appoint that committee, the co-moderators. And they said the majority of the people on that team are under the age of 45. They look like what the church should be in the future, and she's kind of excited about that. My friend Jan is a big old nerd. She's excited about the administrative meetings. But she thinks maybe the church can revision who we are. And what I liked about the General Assembly is I made mistakes all the time, and I didn't know what was going on. I felt like a country mouse. In this church, I convinced myself I know what's going on, and I really don't. It's good for me to be uncomfortable, to see the world larger. And where I'm getting challenged from what happened in General Assembly is on issues of race. I called my friend Jan, the co-moderator, and said, what's going on in the church? And she said, well, my partner Denise said to me, Jan, when I'm introduced, they say to me, this is Denise, the first black co-moderator. And Jan says, well, you are. And Denise said, well, do they say you're the first white co-moderator? And Jan said, no. She had missed this subtle piece. And so Jan has asked, and Denise has asked the church and me to read a book called Waking Up White, Finding Myself in the Story of Race. And so I'm working myself through this, and it's a little hard for me. But what I hear is this is an edge I need to work on. And so I get those kind of messages. From General Assembly, I said, Jan, tell me what's exciting, because I have to preach a sermon, and I'd like you to write it for me. And Jan said no. She said, where I'm excited about the church is what we do together, all these pieces. She said, Maggie, I just learned that we have a presence in Syria. Presbyterians have been there for 150 years. We're already there doing hospitals and doing schools. And she goes, and we're still there because we send our money and we do this together. She said, tell your people that's what Presbyterians do best. When there's a disaster, we go in quickly and we stay. She goes, like Katrina, we still have people there because the work of cleanup after Hurricane Katrina is not over. She goes, it may not be sexy and it's out of the media, but we are still there. And then she said, have you asked about Hurricane Matthew? And I said, oh, I'm doing it this Sunday. So you'll see something in your bulletin about how do you give to Hurricane Matthew, because churches in the U.S. are damaged, but especially in the Caribbean and Haiti, and our money goes there. She said, that's what we do, this whole body. At General Assembly, we wrestled with a lot of things. We made some apologies. We visioned new things. We tried to figure out how our faith would speak to the world. And I got to tell you, there was some arguments. 600 people having voice and vote. And some of the things were fabulous, and they wouldn't have been where I expected them. Like Belhar, we accepted a new confession in our book of confessions. It's from South Africa. Alan Bozak was there and thanked us for it. Now, I read this confession. I don't like it very much. I think because I didn't work at it, but really, it doesn't really matter if I like it very much. It speaks to many people, and it speaks to a church that said no to apartheid and the nation stayed together. So I don't have to always like everything. Well, that's a good thing. We spent 2 hours talking about, should I be called a minister of word and sacrament or a teaching elder? 2 hours we debated that in the book of worship. I am now, again, a minister of word and sacrament, not a teaching elder. You probably didn't even know that, did you? There, we can swirl about things that are not important, but we also vision a world that's bigger than ourselves and listen to voices that move us. And we get to do amazing work as people of God. Presbyterians don't do it 100% right. I mean, 75 would be good. I don't even know if we're there. But we strive to follow Jesus Christ. We strive to learn from our mistakes. We strive to do something new, to be renewing and reconciliating. And that was a good place for me to go to represent you. So thanks be to God, we're bigger than one part. Thanks be to God, we can be uncomfortable and filled with peace. Thanks be to God, there are 600 volunteers who will go to meetings and represent us. And may one day it be you. Amen.